Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Zach Yelp Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Some good news today in the NBA, as we have speculated this, and we've been hearing about this for a while, that you're going to have on July 31st, it looks like 22 teams, Orlando, basketball starts. You have 8 regular season games, 1-8 in the East, 1-8 in the West. It could be a play-in round seeds. If you're the 9th seed and you're within 4 games of the 8th seed, then you do get the play-in game. The 9th seed has to win both games. The 8th seed would only have to win one game. Here to talk about it all, Jared Greenberg, who does a great job for NBA on TNT and also a reporter NBA TV as well. And he's kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Jared, what's happening, my man?
Zach, with all that's gone on in the world, a little bit excited today that we got some news that it looks like we're going to be playing basketball.
No question. It's been a tough time, and it's good that it looks like we're going to get the sport back. When we look at the one team that said no to this proposal, that was Portland. It was talked about how they wanted that 20-game proposal, 20-team proposal. Why do you think they wanted that? What are you hearing on the Portland front?
Yeah, I'm not really sure on that. I just know that Neil O'Shea said and CJ McCollum said that they wanted to, they were listening to their players, and their players felt like this was not the best plan. There were so many plans. As Zach, I think I've spoken to you in the last couple of weeks. You know, the NBA, since basically March 12th, the day after the season got put on pause, has been scenario planning for when it would come back, how it would come back. And there's been, probably a million different ideas and suggestions, and I guess the Blazers just didn't feel like this was the best one. But it doesn't mean that they're not going to participate and, try and earn their way into the playoffs.
I'm not going to lie. The way that I looked at it, and I thought the 22-team format that is going to happen, it benefits Portland to try to get that 8th seed playoff spot. But the way I kind of look at it is maybe Portland, with all the injuries that they suffered and being healthy and ready to go, maybe they wanted that 20-team group stage format, and maybe they thought they could be one of the two teams and go into that field of 8. Like, that's the way that I would look at it, but I was surprised this wasn't unanimous today.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to tell you on that one there, Zach.
Okay, Jared Greenberg here with us. Let me ask you this. The actual format, what do you think about it after having time to review it?
I think it's not perfect, but I think there is no perfect solution, and it's probably the best, way we have right now, which is, a combination of the best of both worlds, which aren't great worlds, where we're not going straight to the playoffs, which I think a lot of people didn't want, but if we had to, understood that that's what we had to do. So now we get the opportunity for teams to get their legs under them a little bit with a training camp, and I think the way it's mapping out, it's actually going to be a longer true training camp than teams typically get before a season. And then a ramp up of 8 games, which impacts seeding, which is important because both in the East and West, beyond just, you know, the ninth, or who's going to be eighth, which I don't think that many people care about, who's going to be eighth, unless really it's Zion, because then if it's Zion, it's not only him, it's Zion versus LeBron. But I also think people care about where Philadelphia, where Boston, where Houston, where Oklahoma City, where the Denver Nuggets are going to finish the season and who they're going to play. And now all the intrigue over those eight games, since there's no home court advantage, do you care if you're the third seed versus the sixth seed, because maybe or the third seed versus the five seed, because maybe you like that matchup better as the five seed than you would have as the third seed? I think it's going to add interesting level. The intrigue is going to be really high.
I'll tell you one thing, as we're talking to Jared Greenberg, a matchup that's still in play, I think it would be really neat if we get OKC and Houston in the first round.
Yeah, no question, with Chris Paul going up against James Harden and Russell Westbrook going up against the Thunder. There's no question on that one.
Let me ask you this, though, and you touched upon it a little bit. Why do you think the NBA was so set on regular season and then this potential play-in format? Why not just have the eight regular season games and go right to the postseason after that?
Well, there's two very clear reasons here on this, Zach. Number one is money. Teams are going to have the opportunity to get some of their regular season games back, and the opportunity for national television to put more regular season games on, and then local RSNs, the regional sports network that carry each one of these teams, still have to fulfill an obligation to advertisers to air X amount of games. And while they're not going to get to the full 82, this will get them closer to that number for a large majority of the teams. So that's number one, which is financially. And then number two, it's because I think the NBA felt like you would have a better product if their players weren't playing game one that they're returning as the playoffs. Game one is a ramp-up period while also giving more markets the opportunity to go into the playoffs.
Do you think that they're doing this in some of it as well with the play-in? You know, I get the regular season, but just the play-in, do you think some of it, and you talked about a little bit, Jared Greenberg, is that the league really just wants Zion as that eighth seed?
I don't know if the league really wants him. I think that it would be incredibly thrilling for fans. You know, you've already seen the numbers and the ratings. When Zion plays, Zion sells. You see all the endorsement deals he's been getting, even while we haven't been playing basketball, and the dude's only played 19 games in the NBA. I think that that's part of it. But they're also putting the Washington Wizards in the mix here too, right? So they're giving them an opportunity to chase down either Orlando or Brooklyn.
The fan experience from home, and yeah, you know, you're part of a network as well. What do you think networks are going to do? What are you hearing even on your own network? What the NBA is trying to do to try to enhance that viewer experience with no fans in the stands?
You know, it's your guess is as good as mine right now. I think everybody is scrambling to try and put a plan in place. You know, will the games be broadcast from on site? Will they be done from a studio? Will they be done from announcers' homes? I don't think we know that question yet. We certainly know that the gyms that they play in won't have fans, but that doesn't mean they won't necessarily have people in them. And I think it'll be interesting to hear a different – you'll hear the broadcast differently because you'll hear more of what the players and coaches and even what the referees are saying more. I'm curious to see if we utilize a little more players and coaches being mic'd up than we typically have. Usually those are not live mics and they're on a delay. Maybe we'll put them live. I don't know. I don't know that these are discussions, but I have to imagine these are all things that are going to be fascinating. But also keep in mind, too, these games aren't going to be in very large arenas. So it's going to feel like a more intimate setting, and it's going to be wild to watch potentially the NBA Finals with you know, only a handful of people in the stands, which is injured players or inactive players and extra members of a front office or whoever else may be scattered around to keep social distancing.
Jared Greenberg here with us in the Zach Gelb Show. In the East, the favorite is Milwaukee. Who knows what these teams look like when they do return after the long layoff. If you had to give me one challenger in your mind in the East, I think the Bucks are going to the finals, but who's that team that you put the most stock in right now?
You know, I didn't know the answer to this question, Zach, on March 11th, and I certainly don't know the answer to it now. You know, that's why I was so excited about the playoffs this year, because I thought it would be so unpredictable. Like, you know, I agree with you. The Bucks should be the heavy favorite in the Eastern Conference right now. Giannis is going to win MVP for the second straight year. He may win Defensive Player of the Year as well. And the Bucks, you know, were going to flirt with 70 wins this season. But for whatever reason, with all of that, it still felt like there should be somebody else that could compete. And even while saying that, there's no clear-cut contender that jumps out at you. The one team I'm really interested in is the Boston Celtics.
Same.
You know, I think they don't have the same talent level that a team like Philadelphia has. But quite frankly, if I couldn't trust Philadelphia when they were all together and their season was going on, how could I trust them when they've been apart from each other for 3 months? You know, I think Boston, Jason Tatum, you're seeing his star, you know, really become bright this year. Kemba Walker is an ultimate leader for that team. Jaylen Brown is a great fit. I think they're a team that, too, will get healthy as we go. But you know, I'm not ultra confident in that answer of Boston being able to knock off Milwaukee, but I think Boston has, you know, as good of a chance as anybody else.
And I don't believe in Philadelphia, especially in playoff basketball, with Ben not taking, you know, any jump shots or three-point shots. But here's the thing I'm really curious about in all these unknowns and seeing the new way basketball is going to look at one location in this format. A team like Philadelphia was 29-2 at home this year. On the road, they were 10-24. It's like on a neutral site, we see how much their home court helped them. What team do you even get on a neutral site if their road record was that bad?
Right, and Joel Embiid has talked a lot about, and he said it to me on media day on television, that you know, it takes him a real long time to get in shape once he's had a couple of days off, right? And he said that in answering a question about not wanting to be load managed. He didn't want to take a day off because he felt like that set him back. How's he going to respond now after having 3 months off?
When we look at the Western Conference right now, and I know a lot of it's the unknown. That's like the big word, the unknown in this interview. But Lakers or Clippers, who do you go with?
You know, I lean towards the Clippers just in terms of overall talent and pieces that fit. But, you know, I also am very intrigued by the LeBron factor. And did 3 months off help him or hurt him? You know, the obvious answer would be, oh, well, rest, it helped him. But he's a guy that, you know, has worked on a schedule for the last 17 years. And typically, I think, you know, tonight was supposed to be game one of the NBA Finals, Zach. And he's a guy that, you know, his body was on the clock. The one interesting fact, though, about this with the Clippers that I've been really thinking a lot about today, even though, you know, I think right now LeBron and Anthony Davis, when the season ended, were in a better place than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, I felt. But the one thing that going to Orlando does is it neutralizes the advantage that the Lakers would have had in a playoff series, in that even if the Clippers were the home team, it still would have been a majority Laker crowd at Staples Center. Now you take that X factor out of the equation here for the Clippers. And I also wonder, you know, how much rest Kawhi Leonard has gotten after having a long year last year, and we saw him being load managed this year. Paul George obviously had the shoulder injuries, but then dealt with some other injuries throughout the course of the season. You know, how healthy are these guys? You know, it's as unpredictable as I felt like the playoffs were going to be on March 11th, I think they're going to be even more unpredictable as we stand here and talk. I'm standing. I don't know if you're standing, but you're probably sitting. I'm standing. As I stand here on June 3rd.
And I'm sitting in my basement right now. I did not think I'd ever be doing a show in my basement ever again.
Well, make sure your mom's got the meatloaf ready.
You know, I used to be living in the city, and now I'm back living with my parents. It's like I'm in high school all over again.
There it is.
Get it out of the city. All right, before we let you run, when we look at the West, if you had to go with a team other than the Lakers and other than the Clippers, who do you go with?
Ooh. You know, I think Denver is the most talented team. 1 through 15. You know, they're incredibly deep, but I just don't know how much I trust them right now. I'd like to say Houston, but I definitely don't trust Harden and Westbrook. You know, I feel like I coming into this year, I felt like they'd have a very good regular season, but they're a team in the playoffs that just make me nervous, especially with their small ball. You know, maybe Utah, but they're dealing with some significant injuries now to Bogdanovich. I don't have a team that I feel really, you know, I'm trying to talk my way through this one and talk myself into something or out of it, and I'm talking myself out of every team. I feel like it comes down to the two LA teams.
And then before we let you run, Jared Greenberg, NBA free agency, I saw that Woj put out there, expected to start now October 18th, and these dates can all move, but the start of next season, December 1st. How about that, having free agency, which used to be an isolated event in the summer and a big-time event for us in the media, that now being put into football season and then the start of the NBA season getting pushed back, you know, obviously to December. I thought it'd be a little bit at the end of December, but this, you know, right now they're playing at the beginning of December.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that goes into this. And obviously, listen, the NBA loves what they've done over the last several years with free agency becoming such a big deal at you know, on July 1st around the NBA. And they even this past year for the first time ever made it into like a mid-afternoon type of event. So we didn't have to wait till midnight like we had in past years. But I just think, again, this is not going to be perfect. It's just the best of the best. And to be able to play this year, you had to make some compromises. So playing basketball, crowning the champion, is more important than having that primetime event of that night of free agency. Now, when speaking about next season, you know, a lot of people feel, and I don't disagree, that it would be great to have the season start on Christmas. But there's a couple of things that go into this. Number one, with the Olympics being moved from this summer to next summer, December 1st, the way I understand it, gives a little bit more of a runway to end the season early enough so NBA players can participate potentially in the Olympics next year should they go off on time. And then the other part of it, too, that I don't think people realize is that the schedule has been made and things have been agreed upon in contracts that go beyond just the game schedule. It's television schedules. It's advertising dollars. It's you know, when the All-Star game will be. It's all these other major events that happen, you know, that you can't just automatically move the schedule by 3 months and not have any, you know, domino effect. And the other part of this, too, is the NBA doesn't want to make this something that bleeds into the 21-22 season. So December 1st, I think, gives them a good position to make sure they get back on track, assuming all goes well, the year after.
Let me just ask you one more thing, Jared Greenberg. Can anything at this point get in the way or be a point of contention when we get to July 31st on the start date with the season getting back up?
Yeah, absolutely. And the NBA, you know, put a lot of ifs in their press release today. And I think that they're being very clear that safety and health and wellness of not just the players, but everybody who will be inside this quote unquote bubble are the priority. If we're not in a place where we have the ability to test, get results, keep people safe, then I would say, sure, they could slide that date back or put it on pause or decide to cancel it. I believe this plan is good enough to get off the ground and to play. But did you ever think we'd have a global pandemic? No. So I to say that anything is set in stone right now would be foolish. I think that the NBA understands that there's a ton of moving parts. They're going to have a lot of hiccups, but they hope they're prepared to handle most of them. It's what the unknowns that are thrown their way that we'll see if it causes this initial plan to go off track at all.
NBA on TNT reporter, NBA TV host Jared Greenberg. Jared, thanks so much.
You got it, Zach. Thanks, man.
18 past the hour. We'll break. We'll come on back. Who's coaching the Nets next year? Who's coaching the Knicks? And are the Rockets and Sixers going to move on from their head coaches? We chat about that next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That was Drew Brees from Within the Hour. Obviously, that has been a big topic of conversation on today's show. The two big topics of conversation, the NBA's plan to return, and then the last 24 hours in regards to Drew Brees. And, you know, when someone apologizes, you either accept it or you decline it. I'm not going to tell you if you should accept his apology or decline his apology. When we go into this whole conversation, I don't think Drew Brees is an awful person. I don't think Drew Brees is a racist. Drew Brees has done a lot of good for many people. Look what he's done for people in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Look what he even did stepping up, donating $5 million during the coronavirus pandemic. But even though you are a good person with a good track record, doesn't mean you can't be wrong here. And Drew Brees was wrong, because what we keep on doing, and I know the flag is very powerful to a lot of people. It's powerful to myself. I know the military and what the military stands for and what they have done to give us our freedoms is very powerful. And we don't respect and say thank you enough. And we should say thank you, and we should respect the military even more than what we already do. But with that being said, when we get into the issue, and it wasn't always clear to see this from the start, but this isn't 2016, this isn't 2017, this isn't 2018 anymore. What keeps on happening when we see players take a knee or raise a fist during the national anthem, we keep on having a certain section of our country say, that's disrespectful. Yank the players off the field. When, if you really sit back and listen, and that's what I hope a lot of people have learned this week, it's listening, listening, and listen some more, and educate yourself, and put yourself in somebody else's shoes. And we keep on, whenever we talk about what Colin Kaepernick did, we keep on deflecting the message. And we need to stop deflecting the message. Because the message and why he took that knee and why he put his fist up, you know, other players have put their fist up in the air, it wasn't to say we don't love the flag. It wasn't to say we don't love the country. It wasn't to say we're doing this with the intent to be disrespectful to the military. It was a call for help. It was to use a huge platform to say, we need help. Because him taking that knee was to show what we just saw last week with George Floyd. Him taking that knee was to protest social injustice and to protest police brutality. We all need to be better. And for Drew Brees in that spot, and I bet you Drew Brees' intentions weren't bad, but he dropped the ball on a major platform that he has. And he didn't know how to read the room and understand the magnitude of the situation. And that's part of the problem. I'm not saying you're not allowed to have your own belief. I'm not saying you shouldn't be proud for what your grandfathers did and for things that happen in this country. But yet again, there is also another side. And even though we have a great country, there are problems in this country. And with what has happened in the last 2 weeks, and Drew Brees addressing the future of protests, it shouldn't have been, I'll never respect anyone that disrespects the flag. Because that's missing the point and deflecting the issue again. He should have been cognizant of the fact that even though he won't take a knee, which is fine, and I bet, and if I had to bet, I would say when the protests come back this year, when the NFL season does start, you would have to think that a player is going to take a knee. And you'll see black players and white players taking knees to show that support and to show that we're all in this together. But just because you don't knee doesn't mean you're racist. Just because you don't knee doesn't mean you don't care for the cause. But for Drew Brees, he should be able to separate the cause and the way that he looks at the flag. You could still love the flag. You could still love the military and understand why players are taking a knee and why players are raising a fist in the air. It's to raise awareness, and we keep on getting caught up in trying to push away the message because of how we interpret it. We need to start thinking about things that happen like Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and say, if that's what that knee takes for us to get it, and if that's what that knee is being done to raise the message and create some positive change, then you need to be accepting of it. And you need to understand, in my opinion, that it's okay to do that. Instead of just screaming about how it's disrespectful. When time in and time again, and I even saw a video resurface of Colin Kaepernick today, back in 2016, saying, I'm not doing it to be disrespectful to the military. He's just showing you what happens in this world as well and in this country as well. And I didn't get that at first. In 2016, I sat there and said, that's disrespectful to the flags, disrespectful to the military, not the right place to do it. I didn't like the pig cop socks, the Castro shirt, and those two things were not right. But when you hear players, whether it is Colin Kaepernick or Malcolm Jenkins, whoever it may be, how many times do they need to say, we're not doing it to be disrespectful to the country or the great people that did serve our country? They're doing it to protest social injustice and police brutality. I was just reading on Pro Football Talk, as the Saints had a meeting today where Drew Brees did talk and many Saints players did talk as well. You know who's actually in the meeting? Shaquille O'Neal. So this meeting was planned 2 weeks ago and all this stuff just happened. And Shaq was still on the call. Now, Shaq said, and this is via Pro Football Talk, about 2 weeks ago I was contacted to speak to the Saints players today. Then this happened. I'm not going to get into it because Coach Sean Payton doesn't really want us to get into it, but I was on the call today when Drew apologized to his teammates, and most of his teammates accepted his apology. They said, Drew, we know your character. We know you stepped into some stuff that you can't get out of, but guess what? We want you to do more positive things and less talking. And they all said, we accept your apology. He made a mistake. Now, Florio points out that Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins has not spoken publicly since issuing a strong rebuke of Brees on Wednesday. But O'Neal said Jenkins was the first to accept Drew Brees' apology. And then you just had Brees apologizing on video again. One more time. Stu, do we have the I just want to replay this one more time. DeMario Davis on Jim Rome earlier today when he was talking about how Drew was what Drew said and how they're going to go from there. Do we have that audio? Let me play that. Let's play that right now. This was Saints linebacker DeMario Davis on the Jim Rome Show, which, of course, you can hear right here on CBS Sports Radio from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
What was disheartening about it was that we had hoped that we would hear him elaborate more on the problem of racism, and particularly as it pertains to the black community and police brutality. I have a ton of respect for him doing an about face and saying, hey, I messed up. All words are most importantly going to be marked by action. And one thing I know about Drew is he's a man of action more than words. But at the end of the day, it's going to be action that's required to bring about change. And you can only judge somebody based on their action, not by their first response, not by their second response, but ultimately, what do they do?
And that's the thing. That's how we start to judge people now. And that's how we judge people for a long time, off their actions. Tomorrow night at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, the most unique event in PBR history kicks off as the top riders in the world team up to take on the Monster Pit on CBS Sports Network. Real quickly, let me get to an NBA point. When I look at the Nets, Knicks, Rockets, and Sixers, all four teams may have new coaches next year. We know the Knicks will. We know the Nets will. I saw a report today that Mike Woodson is actually going to be in the candidate field for the Knicks, so maybe he has another reunion with the New York Knicks. When I look at the Nets, it's going to be whoever KD and Kyrie wants. I think that's going to be Ty Lue. That's just what my gut tells me. We know Leon Rose, or we think Leon Rose, from all the reporting, wants Tom Thibodeau. Doesn't mean he's going to get him, though. Because if I'm Tom Thibodeau, if the Rockets' job becomes available, and if the Sixers' job becomes available, I'd be more inclined to take the Rockets' or Sixers' job. I don't think the Rockets' job should become available. I don't. With D'Antoni being the coach, I don't think they should move on, but I think they will move on. Remember, he's in the final year of his contract. That smelled from the beginning that they were going to move on. So for the Knicks, Rockets, and then you have the Sixers, I think Brett Brown is going to be let go. And I like Brett, but that team should be better than a sixth seed this year. I don't think they're getting rid of Elton Brand, who did a poor job putting this team together. And I don't think they're getting rid of Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. I think they're going to find a new voice. It's so tough to predict the NBA coaching hires because a lot of times it goes by who the players want, as the NBA has the most player empowerment out of any of the four major sports. So when I look at the Knicks, the Rockets, and the Sixers, I think they'll all be bidding for the services of Tom Thibodeau. With that being said, though, and I like Thibodeau, but with his style and how intense he is, what adjustments does he make, and can that mesh with superstars? Now, the Knicks don't have a superstar, but the Rockets and Sixers do. So how will that relationship work? So Nets, I feel like they will get Ty Lue. Either the Knicks, Rockets, or Sixers will get Tom Thibodeau. Then after that, it's a guessing game. Because trying to predict the NBA hires, it's so tough to do. Just because of how much of a say, whether they want to admit it or not, that the players do have. We'll break here. We'll come on back. We will ring the closing bell. An NBA legend is retiring. And then an NFL player who just recently retired is going to be joining one NFL team that he just retired from in a off-the-field role. We'll talk about that when we return to the closing bell.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Time to end the day off right. We call it the closing bell. Whose stock is booming? Whose stock is dooming? Let's get to it right now.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
We don't know exactly when hockey is coming back, but Elliot Friedman had this report today and gave us a little bit more information after we got the plan a few weeks ago. Some more details. The NHL playoffs will not be bracketed, but reseeded after every round. Qualifying will be best of five. All other rounds will be best of seven. That per Elliot Friedman. Now we just got to know when the sport is actually coming back. But good to get more information, so we give it a stock up. With the Atlanta Hawks obviously not qualifying to make the playoffs or being a part of the return to play for the NBA, as it will be 22 teams, that means the great legendary career of Vince Carter, Vinsanity, has come to a close. Since 1998, he's been in the NBA with the Toronto Raptors, the New Jersey Nets, the Orlando Magic, the Suns, the Mavericks, the Grizzlies, the Kings, and the Hawks. The eight-time All-Star, the Rookie of the Year, the 2000 Slam Dunk Contest champion is calling it quits. And I love Vince Carter, big fan of Vince Carter. And the one thing that's missing from his resume, the one thing, for the fifth overall pick in the 1998 NFL draft out of North Carolina, is a Larry O'Brien trophy. I really wish Vince Carter got a Larry O'Brien trophy. Who knows what he'll do after basketball? Maybe he gets back in the game, joins the front office, and gets a ring that way. But I would love to see Vinsanity one day get to hold that Larry O'Brien trophy. But a stock up to a magnificent career for Vinsanity. So with this regular season of 8 games in 16 days for the NBA that will commence on July 31st, there is still a possibility we see Oklahoma City and Houston in the first round of the playoffs. I want to see CP3 with OKC going up against James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Stock up to the thought of that. Here's also some more news. CBS Sports Radio having our old, or kind of old, I don't know how you call it, what was the normal weekend programming coming back. Not at all spots, but here's your weekend programming lineup. Sal Akata, 2 to 6 a.m. Robin Lundberg, 6 to 10 on Saturday. The great Ken Carmen, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Andrew Filippone, 2 to 6. Carrington Harrison out in Kansas City from 6 to 10. Jody Mack, 10 to 2. And then on Sunday, Sal Akata, John Kincaid, Mike Francesa, D.A., Moose and Maggie, Sean Pendergrass, and then Andy Gresh. Stock up, even though our friends from WFAN, and still some will be on here, did a great job. Good to get some names, especially guys like Jody Mack, Carrington Harrison, Gresh, Filippone, and Ken Carmen back into the lineup. Here's some NFL news for you. Luke Kuechly, who retired, is now coming back with the Panthers. Panthers fans on WFNZ, don't get too excited. It's not the play, but he has officially been hired as a pro scout in the team's front office. With all the concussions he suffered, it's great to see him still do something he loves. So we do give a stock up to that. All right, let's get to the negative. Tony Clark released this statement. After a Thursday conference call of the Major League Baseball Players Association Executive Board and more than 100 players in total, MLBPA Executive Director Tony Clark issued the following statement. In this time of unprecedented suffering at home and abroad, players want nothing more than to get back to work and provide baseball fans with the game we all love. But we cannot do this alone. Earlier this week, MLB communicated its intention to schedule a dramatically shortened 2020 season unless players negotiate salary concessions. The concessions being sought are in addition to billions in player salary reduction that have already been agreed upon. This threat came in response to an association proposal aimed at charting a path forward Among other things, players propose more games, 2 years of expanded playoffs, salary deferrals in the event of a 2020 playoff cancellation, and the exploration of additional events and broadcast enhancements aimed at creatively bringing our players to the fans while simultaneously increasing the value of our product. Rather than engage, the league replied, it will shorten the season unless players agree to further salary reductions. Earlier today, we held a conference call of the association's executive board and several of our MLB player leaders. The overwhelming consensus of the board is that the players are ready to report, ready to get back on the field, and they are willing to do so under unprecedented conditions that could affect the health and safety of not just themselves, but their families as well. The league demand for additional concessions were resoundingly rejected. Important work remains to be done in order to safely resume the season. We stand ready to complete that work and look forward to getting back on the field. All right, you could say that, Tony Clark. And the owners and Rob Manfred could say what they want. In this entire process, neither of you have showed any desire to compromise. 114, 50 games. It has to be 82 games, and you have to find a resolution or a solution on the money. That's what you need to do. Instead, you're not willing to take any cuts right now. And the MLB owners want you to take too much of a cut. Enough with you two. Enough with Rob Manfred. Enough with Tony Clark. And I don't want my blood pressure to go any higher than what it already is. So we're just going to give them a stock down. And this tweet I love today from John Heyman. Hearing great confidence that there will be baseball this year, even after players and owners hit a stalemate in talks yesterday. Not sure why this is, but could be because owners believe commissioner can and may be willing to mandate a short about 50-game regular season. The players aren't showing up for 50 games, John. Come on. Like, John Heyman's a great baseball mind, but in this case, why is there any reason to be optimistic right now? Stock down to that tweet. And then finally, Portland was the one team that rejected the return-to-play plan today of 22 teams. They wanted the 20-team group stage format play. I don't know what their intentions were, but Portland, like, this situation that they just made is made for you to actually make the playoffs with a healthy roster. So, come on, Portland. You got to get together, and this should have been a unanimous yes. Now, I don't necessarily love the format. I don't hate it, but I think it is fair. 8 regular season games. Then you have that play-in game if the 9th seed is within 4 games of the 8th, with Portland as the 9th right now, and then you go to the playoffs. Bottom line, though, I don't think they should do that play-in game, but there we go. Stock down to Portland for rejecting or saying no to the return-to-play plan.
You idiot! Get back in there at once and sell!
Passed anyway. Thanks so much to my crew. Thanks to Warren Moon, Greg Schiano, and Jared Greenberg as well, and each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Have a good night, everybody. Stay safe. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.